We this morning continue our series on Haggai. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Haggai is the third book from the end of the Old Testament, just before the prophet Zechariah. Haggai, chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Next week, we will end our series on Haggai. And that at some point after that, we're going to begin a series on Elisha. We, a number of years ago, did a series on Elijah. Now we're going to look at his faithful minister, the prophet Elisha. So let's go to our text this morning, Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. Haggai here speaking to the Jews who have returned to rebuild the temple. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. Father, I pray as we look at this most difficult text, most difficult for our hearts and our minds and for our church, we just pray, O Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds and give us understanding of this. And may we consider our ways. May we consider how great is the mercy of God upon us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to begin by laying out the context of this passage. As you've been with us week after week looking at Haggai, I want you to remember that back to our very first sermon on Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, that the prophet told the people, consider your ways. Or literally, as I translated that, was set your heart upon your ways. That's found in verse 5 that was in our first sermon. Set your heart upon your ways. Then the second sermon we did on Haggai was chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. We saw that the prophet began the very same way in verse 7. He came to the people and said, thus says the Lord God of hosts, consider your ways. Set your heart upon your paths. Set your heart upon your ways, upon your walk with the Lord. So we have an echo from the first sermon of Haggai to the second of Haggai, underscoring the truth that the Lord, through the prophet Haggai, wanted the people to have a serious time of self-deliberation. That the people needed to hit their knees regarding their walk with the Lord, regarding their lives before the Lord. They were to ask questions like this. Were they glorifying God in how they were living? Or were they simply pleasing themselves? What was their priority in life? What was first in their hearts? As I said at the time of those sermons, that these are questions that we as a church need to ask. And these are questions that we as individual Christians need to ask ourselves. I think we often need a period of self-examination, a period of self-deliberation regarding where are we in our walk with Jesus? Where are we in our pilgrimage to the celestial city? I think we need to ask those questions, not just of ourselves, but of our church. Where are we in our walk with Jesus? It's good for us to gauge our own hearts in these matters. It's good for us to gauge our hearts in spiritual matters in our walk with Jesus. It's easy for us to go into automatic pilot. And in the passage before us this morning, chapter 2, verses 15 through 19, the prophet comes back at the people again. I hope you noticed this. And he says three times, consider. Three more times, consider. Found in verse 15 and then twice in verse 18. It has been almost 4 months since Haggai had come to the Jews and said to them, consider your ways and rebuild the temple. And what's happened in that four-month period is they have come under conviction. And they have been rebuilding the temple now for 3 months. But now the prophet comes back to them again and he says, consider. Consider your ways. Yes, you're back rebuilding the temple. But give careful thought to your walk with the Lord. Give careful thought to your situation. And as individual Christians and as a church, I really believe that every once in a while we need to go back to it and ask ourselves, what's my walk like with Jesus? What's our church doing in relationship to the Lord? These are good things to ask. These are good things to look at. So we have three considers in this passage. It's what I teach my seminary students called Lightfort. It's a leading word. It's the leading word of the entire book. Consider. Set your heart upon your ways. It's the leading theme and idea in this book. Let's look at the first, consider your ways, verse 15. The prophet says, now then, consider, set your heart from this day onward. Before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. So the prophet, first thing he says to the people here is, set your heart from this day onward. I'm going to do something here that's going to scare you, and that is I'm going to retranslate a word here. The Hebrew word for onward actually could bear the sense of backward. I know that scares you. It's much like the word for bless in Hebrew can also mean to curse. This is one of those words that can go both ways. And this is a word, as we retranslate it, listen to what he says. Now then, consider, set your heart from this day backward. And what does he say? Before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. That's the correct reading. Haggai is telling the people to think about how were things before a stone had been set in the temple. That one stone was placed on top of another. So Haggai is calling them to look back, give careful thought to how things were 16 years ago when they were called back and started rebuilding the temple. And take that up to the point that Haggai is preaching to them. Think soberly, he said, regarding things, how things have been. Look to the past. Look what he says. He lays the question out clearly in verse 16. How did you fare? How did you do? How were you doing the last 16 years? What things came to pass? What happened to you during those years? God is calling the people to remembrance, calling them to recall. When in fact the reality was there was a sensible waste and decay in the land. Think what it was like. There was a decay in the land. Don't they remember that they went to a heap of grain, expecting to find 20 measures, but all they found was 10 measures? A 50% loss of the grain. And don't they remember that they went out to the wine vat to get 50 measures of wine. But all there was in the wine vat was 20 measures, a 60% loss. Remember what God had said to them in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "You looked for much. Behold, it came to little." What disappointment. What despair. Why such a poor harvest? What happened to the wine? What happened to the grain? Verse 17. "I struck you, and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." God's eye destroyed much of the harvest. This was the disciplinary hand of God coming upon his people to restore them to the right way of thinking. He visibly contended with Israel because they ignored him, because they refused to work on the temple, because they were building their own homes. So God comes and disciplines them. Now understand, this isn't just coming out of nowhere. God had promised this to the people back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We read the following. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and verse 22. Listen to what God says to his people. "If you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God and be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Listen to one of the curses in verse 22. "The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew." Look at those last two. With blight and with mildew. What do we read in Haggai chapter 2, verse 17? "I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew." The disciplinary hand of God coming upon them. The people had been unrepentant. The people had been incorrigible. And so God strikes them with these temporal, physical judgments. And so what the prophet is saying to the people, remember, call to mind, what was it like when you were disobedient? What was it like when you didn't obey the command to build the temple? How'd that go for you during those 16 years? It was not good. Now Haggai calls Israel to consider a second time period. Look at verses 18 and 19. "Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing." Now, Haggai now tells the people to think about specifically the period, it says, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid until this very day that Haggai is preaching to them. Now, he's preaching to them on the 24th day of the ninth month of the second year of Darius. The formal laying of the foundation stone of the temple had taken place just 3 months earlier. Haggai said to them, "Come back, build the temple, lay the foundation." So what he's doing here is saying to them, now I want you to think specifically, how's it been going the last 3 months? You've come under conviction to build a temple, and you've been building the temple. How's it going for you in the last 3 months? How have they fared these last 3 months? Well, verse 19 is like a slap in the face. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have yielded nothing. What's happened these last 3 months where they have been rebuilding the temple? Verse Nothing. Nothing. No blessing. No prosperity. Continued hardship. Continued adversity. Now, doesn't that slap you? I mean, think about that. And the Israelites must be asking this very question. How can that be? We have repented. We have been rebuilding the temple. Why are we yet under affliction? Why has nothing changed? It's just like it was in that first period of the 16 years. And the text is clear. The field crops are not yielding anything. Why is this? It's because, yes, they're rebuilding the temple, but they have continued in their sin. We talked about last week, or 2 weeks ago. The apathy, the indifference. Yes, we're building the temple, but our heart's not in it. We really don't want to do this. Yes, we're being obedient, but we don't want to do this. So one can do church work and yet be under the discipline of God because our hearts are not in it. That's not what we want to be doing, really. We're just obeying Him in an apathetic way. Have I depressed you yet? Have you gone into despair yet? Well, don't, because God has a third thing for us to consider, a third period. Look at the end of verse 19. But from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. Here is the good news for the future. I will bless you from this day forward. I am going to bless you. That's an amazing statement there. Here, God promises to bless them despite their slowness, despite their lack of faith, despite their weariness, despite their despair, despite their stubbornness, despite their half-heartedness. Understand that this third period being talked about, that I will bless you, is a promise that is entirely unmerited and undeserved. You've been doing it your own way. How's that working out for you? The Jews did not work at the temple for 16 years. Now they're working on it with indifference and hesitancy. Now they're working on it in a half-hearted way, in a sinful way. And yet, the God of infinite grace and mercy is ready to pour out His blessings on them. Who indeed is a God like unto the Lord? So, now the rebuilding of the temple is taking place. No matter how inadequate the effort, the fortunes of the people will turn from curse to blessing. The Jews are being obedient, and God will bless their endeavors. No matter how weak they are, no matter how broken they are, God will bless that. We need to understand that the same is true in the church today. God says to us, you unworthy builders of the temple, you weary Sunday school teachers, you inadequate preachers of the gospel, you timid witnesses of mine, from this day onwards, because you have repented of your iniquity and your lethargy and have obeyed my commands, I will bless you and make your efforts glorious in my sight. Do we see? This is God's work, not ours. It is His working in us. So as I think and consider, set my heart upon our little church here, our small church, and and our faithfulness as we attempt to be faithful workers in the vineyard, although we're inadequate to the work, God will bless our efforts in this small corner of the kingdom. Because that's His desire. Even when there's no indication of spiritual blessing, we should rejoice in the goodness of God, whether we see signs of success or not, because God is at work despite us. That's the whole point. He is at work despite us. Yes, we are inadequate, but He is adequate. We are unable, but He is able. We are unworthy, but He is worthy. And so we work, and so we build, and so we do it in an inept way, and so we do it in a broken way. But we do so knowing that it is God who will bring it all to completion. God will bless our labors for Him, no matter how meekly it's done, no matter how weakly it is done. Yes, we are insufficient, but He is sufficient. And thus, you laborers for Christ, let's work together. Let us work hard in the Lord's vineyard. Let us work diligently upon the Lord's house with the realization that He will bring the work to completion, that He will bless the work of our hands. So it's the Lord's work here at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church. Let us do it with great expectation and anticipation of His blessing upon us. It's not something we earn or merit. We don't earn or merit by our work because our labors are broken. It's by His blessing upon us, by His mercy and grace to us. So let us continue to build. Praying for God's blessing upon His people. In Jesus' name we pray. O Lord, we are unworthy laborers. We are broken workers in the vineyard. But we pray for Your blessing to come upon Your people because of who You are, not because of who we are. Because You are a God of mercy and a God of grace to an undeserving people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.